Nixon was very hot for the war, of course, and then he came up with his great plan with Melvin Laird to Vietnamization, which means make the country the way it was before you got there. So it's a new idea. George Romney, Governor Romney, was the only Republican that came out against the war at that time. He said it was despicable. And Nixon was hot as hell, so were the Republicans. And Romney went to Vietnam on his own inspection tour, and he had his picture taken with General Westmoreland, and he said, "Say, this war is all right." Then he came back and he did meet the press, and John Chancellor said to him, "Is the war despicable or is it all right?" He says, "It's despicable, but when I got over there, I was brainwashed by General Westmoreland." And Senator McCarthy said, "In Romney's case, a light rinse would have done it."
Yeah, we suffered for that because Romney, when he pulled out, I was told, was going to give us his billboards. But after the slight rinse remark, he kept them and I guess just abandoned them. Absolutely.
Is the League of Women Voters going to control those debates and shut Perot out as it looks?
Well, I don't. They don't control them anymore.
They don't?
The League controlled them in 76. But 4 years later, the networks took complete control. They used the League as a cover in 76. But
that's a duck blind, huh?
Yeah, because they were going to be impartial. And we went to court. I was an independent candidate that year, but the League said this is, the network said we're innocent, you know, the League is doing this. And it was an interesting time. Television is now involved, really. Television is controlled so that the two parties are all that are covered. And the two parties cover for television, so it's a closed circuit. Then it was a little more open. You may remember that there was Ford and Carter were debating, and we had tried to buy Maud's time for 30 minutes, and CBS wouldn't sell it. They said, and they developed a new concept of time. Nothing the theologians, philosophers, even the watchmakers had never come close. There were certain units of time that were unique, and this was Maud's time. And they said that if they sold it to me, that they could never sell that time to anybody else because it would never again occur. That in the whole movement of time, fixed forever or gone forever. So when we sued to be included in the debates, we sued CBS and we said, "We're using your concept of time. Because if I'm not included, this will implicitly violate the equal time provision of the law. And we don't want to do that because you don't want to do it." And anyway, we were turned down by the FCC and everybody. So then we sued for something under the Fairness Doctrine, which is doesn't have to be equal time, it's just comparable time, after the debate. And you may remember there was 28 minutes of silence when the sound system broke down.
On Ford and Carter?
Ford and Carter, yeah. And so when we sued, actually when the sound disappeared, Ford was talking. He realized something had happened. He looked around. And he kind of slowed down like an old phonograph. Yeah, and he stopped. And in 28 minutes, he picked up again the same way. Come back up to speed. So when we sued, they were supposed to have 45 minutes apiece, 30 minutes and 15. So we sued for 45 minutes with sound and 14 without. We said, "We don't want to take any unfair advantage of it."
That's when Ford freed Poland, didn't he?
Well, actually, it was the best thing Ford ever said, but he couldn't quite say it right.
What was he trying to say?
Well, actually, the Helsinki things, you know, was significant. He was trying to say that Poland is moving towards freedom, and he said it wasn't communistic or something. And Jimmy sort of jumped on it. Jerry had trouble with language and metaphor. When he first came in to be the presidency after he'd pardoned Nixon, and he was rather good about that. He sort of said he was acting as God's humble servant in pardoning Nixon. God didn't want to do it himself.
He didn't want to deal with Nixon?
No, he sent out his humble servant to do it. And I always wondered why these people who are God's servant always say they're humble. I think if you're You know, if you're God's servant, you got to just play it straight. Not be proud or not be humble. Just as I said, as one poet I know said, God didn't ask people to look on his world and say it was good, but only to acknowledge that he'd done the best he could.